Welcome to the Mint Euro Special 2016 podcast. Over the next 30 days, Ankit Prasad will take you through some of the most exciting happenings from on and off the football field.
Hello and welcome to European Nights, a show about football. Today is Tuesday, the 21st of June, and I'm Ankit Prasad. Let's review what took place yesterday first, and then we'll look ahead to some cool stuff. Group B was in action last night, as leaders England with 4 points took on Slovakia, who had 3 at St Etienne, while Wales, also on 3 points, played Russia in Toulouse. In Toulouse, at the Stadium Municipal, the Welsh were on fire from the start, as Bale cut in from the right wing and unleashed a rasping effort that stung the keeper's palms in just the first minute. And some more promise later, in just the 10th, in a move made in the Premier League, Wales' Joe Allen received the ball at the centre circle, carried it forward, and then played a pass through a corridor between four Russian players to Aaron Ramsey, who had beaten the offside trap and was through on goal. Allen's pass lived up to his tongue-in-cheek Welsh Pirlo billing, and Ramsey confidently and delicately dinked the ball over a rushing Akin 5. The stadium was rocking, mostly because of the Welsh support, and 10 minutes after that, Gareth Bale ran through the centre, and with the help of a fortuitous deflection, slipped in his left-back Neil Taylor, who seemed to have a little too much time, and hit his weak shot against Akin 5. The ball came back off the keeper and into Taylor's path once again, and he buried the rebound to send Wales 2-0 up. The Russians were playing a high line, and Ramsey was carving them up, and they were creating nothing in return. In the second half, in the 66th minute, Ramsey played Gareth Bale in with a great little through ball, and Bale made no mistake with an outside of the left foot finish to complete a perfect 3 goals in 3 matches in the group stage. Wales won 3-0. In the other match, Roy Hodgson made a number of changes to his side, with Vardy and Sturridge starting in place of Kane and Sterling up front, Wilshere and Henderson in the place of Rooney and Dele Alli in the middle, and Klein and Ryan Bertrand instead of fullbacks Walker and Rose. The new players seemed to be as hungry as you'd like, and Klein set up a half chance for Vardy with a sharp turn of pace and a cross, but the Leicester City man missed by quite a bit as he tried to score with his knee. A short while later, again from Klein's side, some head tennis led to a chance for Sturridge, but Slovakia defended. England had further chances that fell to the likes of Henderson and others, but Vardy had the best chance of the first half as Henderson played him in with a long pass, and even though he won his race with the Slovak defender, his shot was right at the keeper. Lallana too had a similarly good chance to score from inside the box, but he too found the keeper. England fans had their hearts in their mouths for an instant at the start of the second half, as Smalling and Joe Hart had a moment of indecision that almost allowed Robert Mack to steal in, but Hart just gathered. Klein blazed a proper chance over the bar from close range, and Weiss's cut in and shot was saved by Hart. Hodgson was insistent on it not turning into one of those days, and sent in Rooney, Dele Alli and Kane, but all of England's chances hit something or the other on their way to goal, or went wide, or something of the like. By the end it was quite apparent that neither side was going to score, and so it ended goalless, but it really should not have. So Group B ends with Wales the winners with 6 points, England second with 5, and Slovakia third with 4, making them the highest third place side at the moment. Today we really have our hands full. That's because not one, but two groups will be winding up. First, in Group C, Northern Ireland will be playing Germany at the Parc des Princes, while Ukraine will play Poland at the Stade Velodrome. Both those matches will kick off at 9:30 PM Indian time, and the equation you'll be interested to know is that Germany and Poland have 4 points each, while Northern Ireland have 3 points and the Ukraine 0, meaning all but the Ukraine have plenty to play for. Now, despite the Ukraine being out, they may still want to give this match a go, not just because they probably don't want to get beat for the third time in a row and have to face their supporters back home having not scored a single goal in the whole championships, but because this match versus Poland is like a match versus their best friend, and losing that would be the pits. Poland and the Ukraine are large countries by Europe standards, share a particularly long border, and form a bloc across Europe that extends from the Baltic Sea till the Black Sea. That's quite an area. Given how close they are and how Europe is in any case, the two have a history that goes back to the 13th or 14th century. In more modern times, just less than 100 years back, they even had a squabble, like all best friends do at some point or the other. In this case, they were fighting over an area called Galicia that had come undone from the Austro-Hungarian Empire at the end of the First World War. Both Poland and Ukraine coveted it and had variously strong claims over it. After a lot of fighting, the remainder of the Allied forces also got involved in trying to decide who gets what, and by who they meant themselves as well, and by what they also meant a lot of oil. The French didn't care so much for the oil but were wary of Soviet Russia and what could happen if Russia had a clear run through to Germany, and felt that a large Poland would be the best ward against this, and hence backed the Poles' cause with weapons. Meanwhile, Czechoslovakia supported the Ukraine. It sounds like an incredibly convoluted story from which everyone wanted something or the other. To draw a parallel, it's kind of like if the scenarios in Kashmir and Iraq were combined. Ultimately, it went to Poland, but that wasn't for long because the Soviet Union annexed it and attached it to the Ukraine in the beginning of the Second World War, as the Ukraine was a Soviet state back then. Galicia continues to be with the Ukraine now and is a symbol of their nationalism. It is also a symbol, we feel, of how crazy Europe was in those days. All that diversity and difference of opinion in that small an area made it kind of like the Game of Thrones. What's more, we've only given you half the story, as apparently, far from letting their war from becoming a source of never-ending contention, Poland and the Ukraine, not long after, also entered into an alliance against Soviet Russia. So yes, things were bad, and then they were good, and then they were bad again, and meanwhile, the Russians were a constant shadow hanging over them, something that hasn't changed even now. Poland has supported the Ukraine through the Crimea crisis and had also, in the previous decade, supported Ukraine's Orange Revolution, which involved a huge but bloodless protest against what was currently thought to be a rigged presidential election. The good relations between the two nations were there for all to see and experience 4 years ago when the European Championships were held jointly in what was then being called Polkraine. So they are essentially best friends after all. And though each has its own problems, they find a way to get along, which is what friendship is all about, isn't it? That and also engaging in serious and competitive sports once in a while. As poor as Ukraine's results have been, including the 2-0 defeat to Northern Ireland, they're not necessarily a bad team. And on the other hand, Poland, apart from the livewire Arkadiusz Milik, have been quite average as well. Even Robert Lewandowski has failed to live up to his potential, and we're desperately hoping that both sides give it a go. It's hard for the Ukrainian players. Their coach will probably give a lot of players who haven't featured so far runouts, but it is still the final game of a long season, so there's no guarantee of a performance. The Poles have plenty more to play for, and so we're backing them to hand their friends from across the border a solid 3-0 shellacking. In the other match, on paper, it's not even a contest. Germany should wipe the floor with Northern Ireland. If you ask a group of football fans who will win in a contest between Johnny Evans and Thomas Muller, you'll certainly get a few who'll say Evans, and you can be sure that that's because they're Manchester United fans. Still, Northern Ireland are more than cognizant of the gulf in talent and class, and they don't necessarily need to come across the world champions to feel it either. They are a team geared towards taking on superior opposition, and they do it with the biggest weapons they have at their disposal. Good old-fashioned heart and grit. And also, their neighbours, the Republic of Ireland, drew against Germany in Gelsenkirchen during qualifying for these championships when the mighty John O'Shea cancelled out Toni Kroos's opener and then Shane Long beat the Germans 1-0 in Dublin. Surely Northern Ireland's coach Michael O'Neill will have been plotting to emulate the Republic's manager Martin O'Neill ever since the draw came out. After all, it's not every day that you get to face the world champions on fairly even terms. Also, Northern Ireland have a history of giant killing to call upon. In the 1982 World Cup, in a similar position and facing host Spain, they eked out a famous 1-0 win via a goal from the now pretty famous commentator Jerry Armstrong. And last but not least, Germany haven't been all that convincing either. They don't know who will get them goals for one, and as such, so far this tournament, Johnny Evans has been far better than Muller. So we're going to stick our necks out, guarantee a barnstormer of a contest, with the North holding their ground and battling to a 1-1 draw versus the world champions. We have a bit of a treat for you now. We have German coach Joachim Löw speaking to his players in a team meeting over breakfast. Here he is.
Settle down. Is everyone here? Nein. Fair is Podolski. What do you mean he has gone shopping? Did I bring him here so that he may fool around? Well, maybe. But he's been so good to have around all this time. When I have problem or when the press asks difficult question, I just send him to them and he replies to their stupid question with even stupider answers. Which reminds me, boys, be very careful about hygiene, especially with all these cameras around. You never know what they'll catch you doing. I am a World Cup winning manager and still in this tournament I'm being joked about for, well, you know. Well, just remember, if you dig your noses, don't put it in your mouth. Now, coming to this match, again, we are facing Ireland. They beat us once and we draw the other time in qualifying. But you remember everything about them, I'm sure. That's why we are not training right now. Shane Long likes to run long and Robbie Keane is not the same as that other scary Keane who sits in the dugout and keeps glaring at me like he will come later with his dogs. So if you see Robbie Keane coming on, don't worry. Yes. What? Wait, what are you saying, Mesut? What is Republic and what is Northern? Don't be stupid. Staying in Arsenal, I don't know what it has done to you. Why can't you all just be mature and play for Bayern München? Look at Götze. He missed playing in a Champions League final to go join Bayern München. That's the kind of commitment to the Mannschaft I want. Yes, Mario. Nein, you will not play. I brought you here to show you that you should never have chosen to become a classic number 9. That position is dead. And Draxler, I have made some more videos for you. They contain clips of Royce's matches between ages 9 to 11. Please try to watch them and see if you can become more like him. So sad that he was injured again. Tony, where's Tony? That's okay, you can be in the back now. But in the match, I want you in the middle. I want at least 110 passes today. I will let you know in injury time how many more you need. Yes, Kadira will help you. Okay, we done? Yes, what is it, Neuer? 9. If we are winning, you can't come play right wing. Don't be ridiculous. You are our goalkeeper. Be in goal. Done? Okay, best of luck. Heil Mother Angela.
Alright, moving on. In the other group, that is Group D, the situation is quite interesting. We have one team that is through, that is Spain, with 6 points. We have another team, Croatia, who are assured of a top 3 spot with 4 points. Then we have the Czech Republic, who can still make it to the second or third places, giving themselves a chance. And we have Turkey, who are out. The problem here is for the Croatians. There is no doubt Vicente del Bosque will rest some of his stars tonight, but this is Spain we're talking about. And the Croatians may not have Luka Modric fit either. The draw they gave away to the Czechs in the previous round of matches could come back to bite them hard if they lose and the Czechs win, a scenario that is very much on the cards. In that case, the best the Croats can hope for is that both sides land up having the exact same record in the group stage. That is 4 points with 3 goals scored and 3 against and a 2-all draw in their match against each other. That would take us into the nether realms of UEFA's tiebreaker criteria, which also contains things such as fair play, meaning yellow and red cards. Just FYI, Croatia currently have 2 more yellow cards, and they'll count themselves lucky that the referee can't give them another for their pyrotechnic-loving fans' behavior in the last match. This is nonetheless the perfect opportunity for Croatia to actually use the tactics we suggested for Turkey in their game versus Spain, which they completely ignored, choosing instead to go for a more toe-to-toe expansive style. If Modric is available, especially from the bench, then they could even play for the draw while retaining the hope of a sucker punch win, but if he is not, then the best idea would be to close ranks and hold out for a draw that will definitely send them through. For the Czechs, there's no complex considerations. They've been given a lifeline in this group, and they must grab it. Turkey coach Fatih Terim will make changes, which needn't be a good thing for the Czechs, as he kept at least a few talented attackers on the bench when it would probably have been a better idea to start with them, and they could cause problems. But Turkey should be limp enough that the Czech Republic get their win. And, like we started with, if they win by a few goals, and or Croatia lose by a few goals, then the Czechs will be second. That's what we're going for. Spain to win 2-0, and the Czechs to also win 2-0. Tonight promises to be one of those nights where each of the teams have one eye on the score elsewhere, and that's group stage football at its best. More variables, more considerations, and hopefully more drama and hysteria. Have fun watching. I'm Ankit Prasad, and this has been European Nights.